Thank you, Sam, for leading us in these great hymns. And you have sung well this morning, and you've encouraged all of us that are here. This has been Promotion Day in Bible School, and that's always a great time. We have a number of people who have gone to great lengths to call everyone this week to make sure that everyone would be here on time for our Bible class. And we appreciate all of your help and your labor of love. You know, a lot of people like to live in the past. A lot of people think about the good old days, and no doubt many of you have. As you look back on your life, you probably can think of some wonderful occasions. And there's nothing wrong with reflecting on the past, but we ought to be a people who live in the present and in the future. If I were to ask you a question this morning, what does your future hold? Well, we know that as God's children, that the future holds much for His people. The Bible in the Old Testament tells us that Moses had stood at the brink of the Red Sea. He had led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they're marching toward that promised land that God had given unto His children. And they could have been there in a relatively short time. And the Bible says that Moses spake unto the children of God in Exodus 14, 13 through 15, essentially, and said unto them, to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then God commanded them to go forward. I'm convinced today that God wants us to be a people that go forward in life. That they go forward, the Bible says. Often today we find ourselves standing still in our walk with God. We're unsure what to do or where to go. Or how do I advance my relationship with my Father in heaven? But like Israel of old, God commands us to move forward. You know, when we think about Bible class, it certainly is an opportunity for us to develop our lives spiritually. It is an opportunity for us to grow at the feet of others who study the Holy Scriptures. There are many people who do not study on their own. We're like kids in school, and they'll be going back tomorrow, believe it or not, and all the teachers are sad, but all the mothers are happy. But I can tell you what, a lot of young people don't like homework. And they would never learn anything had they not had to go to school in a public setting. Now, I'm not denouncing those who want to homeschool their kids. I think that's a great thing, too, and I appreciate those who want to do that. I'm not sure that I would have the patience to do that. But at any rate, for those of you who do, that's a wonderful thing, and God bless you, and may you be successful in your efforts. But I know one thing, that we have to teach children. It's not something that comes easy for them. It is, I don't know, very many kids who want to get up in the morning and say, boy, I just can't wait to get to school to do all that work. They just don't do that. But we are oftentimes the same way in a spiritual relationship with God. We know we ought to read the Bible, but we don't get around to doing it. If I were to ask you this morning, how many of you read your Bible last week? How many of you called upon God last week in prayer? How many of you could truthfully and honestly say, I did both? We have Bibles in our house. We have Bibles in the automobile. We have Bibles in our office. They are plentiful, but so few read the Bible. Did you know the Bible is still the number one bestseller of all time? It is. There are more Bibles sold in any given year than any novel, than any book. It is still the bestseller, but so few read it. It adorns the coffee table. We place it just about everywhere, but we never read it. And the Lord God said unto Moses, speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Now, that was a little unusual. You read that and you say, well, that's wonderful. God wants us to go forward. But I'm telling you, when Moses said that to the children of Israel, it was extremely important, but also disconcerting unto the children of Israel. Let me tell you why. They had been down in Egypt. They had been held captive for all of those years. And now God had prevailed upon Moses and Aaron to set the people of God free from the Egyptians. And so finally, after that last plague that God had brought against King Pharaoh, he let the children of God go. And they are going now toward the promised land. But they come upon what we call the Red Sea. They know that the Egyptians are pursuing them, and here is the Red Sea right in front of them. And they're thinking in their mind, how are we going to go forward? We have no means of crossing over the Red Sea. There is no way that we're going to get to the other side. And God told Moses to raise his rod above the water, and that he did, that same rod that became a serpent when he cast it down. But he stretched it forth across the water, and the Bible says that the waters parted. And God's people marched across that Red Sea on dry land. And then when the Egyptian army continued to pursue them, God brought the waters back, and they all drowned, and their animals in the water. But because of Israel's disobedience before God, they wandered in the wilderness for over 40 years before they entered into the promised land, which it could have taken, in reality, just a few days. But get the picture. They're standing there at the Red Sea, not knowing where to go, and God says unto them, move forward. Go forward. And I'm telling you, God is saying that to you and to me today. Christianity is not about looking back, but looking forward. Sometimes bridges have to be burned to keep problems from following you. They do. You've heard the old expression, don't burn any bridges behind you. I'm telling you this morning, you have to burn some bridges behind you to keep the problems of life from following you. You see, God wants us to look through the windshield, not the rear view mirror. Not the rear view mirror. I'll never forget when we were teaching our oldest daughter how to drive, Dana. And Amanda was in the back seat. Now you can imagine what kind of experience that was. I was in the front seat. And Dana had that wheel. Her only problem was that she was looking in the rear view mirror. I had to literally get the jaws of life to get Amanda out from under the back seat. God doesn't want us to look in the rearview mirror. He wants us to look forward through the windshield. It's not where you've been, but where are you going? You see, that's where we all ought to be focused this morning, on the future, on where are we going? Where our spiritual lives going? God is saying, move forward. And our next steps must be those that move in faith. That move in faith. We have to go forward. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about a number of areas where we need to move forward. We need to move forward in our faith. How strong is your faith this morning? Is it stronger now than it was last year? Is it really growing? I hope that it is. Some have little faith, according to Christ, in the book of Matthew 6 and verse 30. Some have trembling faith. The devils believed and they trembled, James 2, 19. Some have no faith, according to the book of James 2 and verse 20. For the Bible says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. But the devils also believe and tremble. But thou, O vain man, he says, don't you know that faith without works is dead? It is dead. God says we have to go forward in faith. Faith only grows by hearing and believing and obeying God. Listen to Romans 10 and verse 17. Paul says, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. That's the way our faith grows. It's not that you pray for faith. God says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. We must go forward full of faith. I like the book of Acts chapter 6, where it talks about Stephen in the New Testament. The Bible says of Stephen that he was a man who was of full faith. He didn't have just a little faith, but his faith was so strong. And God says unto us that our faith must be full as well. For listen to Matthew 8, verse 5 through 10. The scripture says, and when Jesus had entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying unto him, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented, he said. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and I will heal him. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel. This man knew that Jesus could just speak the word. He moved forward in faith. You know what? There are so many things that God could be doing and would be doing in our life if we just ask God to speak the word. We could be growing in our life. Many of you are missing out this morning in your spiritual life. Many of you are missing out in a lot of ways. You're missing out in relationships. You're missing out in fellowship with the church. You're missing out financially. You're missing out emotionally this morning because you've not asked God to speak the word in your life. For some reason or another, people are afraid to speak the word. There was an enormously muscular guy one time who was a bad stutterer. Maybe you've known people like that. It's a very debilitating thing. But this man went to the counter of a department store. And he asked the clerk behind the counter, he said, where's the man's department? And the clerk behind the counter just looked at him. He didn't say anything at all. The man repeated himself. He said, where's the men's department? And again, the clerk did not say anything at all to this man. The guy did it several more times. And finally, the guy just really got literally mad and walked off. And another customer who was waiting in line behind the guy looked at the clerk and said, why wouldn't you answer that man's question? And the clerk answered, do you think that I wanted to be killed? Many of us are afraid to go into the presence of God and ask God to bless our lives because we have little faith. Our faith ought to be growing. It should. We must move forward in faith. But let me tell you another area where we need to be moving forward. You and I need to be moving forward in areas of evangelism. On Wednesday evening, in our chapel class, we have been discussing the subject of personal evangelism. We've been talking about soul winning. We've been talking about ways we reach people with the gospel of Christ. Some have obeyed the gospel recently, and that's great, and that's wonderful. But you know what? We ought to continue to be involved in evangelism. We must be going forward in evangelism. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Go into all the world. That's what he said. We're to go forward. Saints are to go forward and teach the gospel. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Some people read that and they say, oh, no, not evangelism, not me. I hear people say all the time, oh, I can't do that. I can do anything, but don't ask me to teach anybody about Jesus. Folks, what's wrong with us? When we feel we cannot share with someone else the greatest message that the world has ever heard or will ever hear, there is something wrong. We must go forward in evangelism. Because you see, in reality, you and I are stewards of the gospel of Christ. We are. A steward is the one who is in charge of or has been appointed to oversee. And you and I are stewards. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says a lot about stewardship. For the Holy Scripture says, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Listen to that. That a man be found faithful. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9 says, but his word was in my heart, and it was as a burning fire that was shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, for I could not stay. Jeremiah said, I was on fire for God. That's really what he's saying. He said, I was so excited about the message that I was going to share with other people. It was like a fire within my bones. We must go forward in evangelism. For without obedience to Christ, souls are going to be lost. And Jesus in the 14th chapter of the book of John in verse 6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 8, Paul says, you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we go forward in evangelism. But are we willing to invest the time? So often people say today, I don't have time. Sure you do. Are you willing to invest the effort and the expense to save a soul? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says that we study to show ourselves approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul in 1 Timothy 4:16 and the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, bear the importance of those who are lost and how they need the gospel. We must go forward everywhere preaching the word according to Acts 8 and verse 4. That's exactly what the New Testament church did, folks. In reality, it is go and tell. It is. And reach one. Everyone, reach one. That's what the message of Christ is all about. Have you ever thought about it? If everyone in this congregation could reach out and touch one life with your life or with the words of Christ, this building would be filled to overflowing. It would. Each one, reach one. Go forward. Preaching and teaching the word, Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. It is go and tell. Go and tell someone about Jesus. When was the last time you went to tell someone about Jesus? How long has it been? How long has it really been since you did? We have to stay focused on evangelism. You know, that's really the mission of the church. So social events are wonderful things. We're going to have a fellowship luncheon out there today, and that's great. And, you know, we have a lot of various activities that go on here for women and the men, and we have a lot of things that go on for our Joy Club, the kids and Children's Bible Hour, and a number of things. Let me tell you something. The most important thing that we ought to be focused on today is evangelism. That's our mission. It is. Focus on evangelism. But then thirdly, last of all, we must go forward in edification. Edification. Jesus intended that the church would be equipped and would equip each other, the saints of God, to work. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You and I are the hands of God, the feet of God, the mouthpiece of God. You and I are the workmanship of our Savior. And the future is depending on us. It is true. Hebrews 10 and verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." You know what that really translates into? It translates into this, that you and I ought to be people that motivate one another. We motivate one another. We edify one another. If you think about the word edify, you're right in the middle of that. Paul says that we're to seek to the edifying of the church. And it means that we move upward. It means that we admonish. It means that we do all we can to build up the body of Christ. What does it really mean? It means to uplift. It means to enlighten. And it means to encourage. That's what it really means. Seek that you might excel to the edifying of the church. We must go forward in evangelism. Let me ask you a question. Sometimes people seek to tear down instead of build up. Will you seek to build or will you seek to destroy? Paul writes in Philippians 2, verse 1 through 4, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love," he says, "if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that you might be like-minded, having the same love, being of one," listen to it, "one mind, one accord, and let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." We don't have any kind of private agenda here, other than teaching Christ and strengthening the body of our Lord. "But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves, and look every man not on his own things, but on the things of others." We must go forward. We must go forward. God is saying that to us for the future of our lives, spiritually speaking, are dependent upon an attitude that does not continue to look back, but one that looks forward. God is commanding His people to go forward. God showed Israel the way in Exodus 14 and verse 22, and He has shown us the way, the truth, the life, John 14. Let me ask you a question. Are we going forward? Backward? Are you standing still? Jesus said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Luke 9 and verse 62. You see, this morning our hope rests with Christ. Our hope rests upon His wonderful promises and an understanding of looking toward the future. The future. You know, I'm thankful that's borne out also in the life of Jesus Christ our Lord. That Christ is not so concerned this morning about where we've been, but He's concerned about where we're going. You know, when Christ was on that road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and the Bible says that He saw Zacchaeus up in that sycamore tree, He told him to come down. He said, "For I'm going to your house today." Zacchaeus was a publican. He was looked upon with contempt and disdain. But God said unto Zacchaeus, I'm not concerned about where you've been. I'm concerned about where you're going. And salvation has come to your house today. Sometimes people say, well, I've been a horrendous sinner. I just don't believe God could forgive me. I'm telling you, the grace and the mercy of God and the forgiveness and the love and the compassion of our Savior can forgive anyone, regardless of what you have done. There is no sinner He will not save. No soul He will not rescue. No life He will not touch. No hope He cannot give. And He never really gives up on us. Our problem is that we give up on Him. A woman one time fell on a stone stairway of a police station up in Boston, Massachusetts, and was severely injured. She was taken to the hospital and was examined by a doctor who said to the nurse, she will not live more than a day. After the nurse had attended for her for a few hours, the woman told her story. She said, I have traveled from California, stopping at every city of importance between San Francisco and Boston, Mass., visiting two places along the way, the police station and the hospital. My son went away from me and did not tell me where he was going. I have sold all of my property and made my journey to seek him out. Someday he may come into this hospital. And if he does, tell him that there were two who never gave up on him. Evening came and the doctor told the nurse, it's just now a question of a few moments. And the nurse bent over and said, tell me the names of the two, and I will tell your son if I see him. And with tears in her eyes and barely enough breath to speak, she said, tell him that there were two who did not give up on him. And that was God and his mother. You know, mother love is a great thing, but I'm telling you, there is no greater love than that of our Father in heaven. And He offers us a hope of redemption that is beyond anything we could ever imagine in this world. His plan of salvation has been borne out, it's been preached in this building, it has been taught publicly and privately, giving people an opportunity to obey the gospel. This morning, we appeal to you to do that. We appeal to you to move forward. Some of you need to begin a forward walk with Christ this morning. You can't go forward because you still have sin, the baggage of sin that you're carrying along in your life. You can't go forward in faith because you're holding on to the world. You can't edify other people because you're not a Christian. You can't evangelize others and lead them to the Savior that you will not follow and have not chosen to follow. So this morning, we appeal to you to move forward. To move forward by faith and to do the will of God. By being baptized for the remission of every sin and living as God would have you live. In view of that awesome moment when we shall all be gathered before the great throne of God. And I hope that when we arrive there and when we stand before Him, it will not be too late, but that we will hear Him say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. How sad it would be to hear the words, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. I hope as you reflect upon what we have shared with you this morning about the message of Christ, that you'll act upon it and you'll do God's will. While we stand and while we sing.